You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Thanks for checking out today's episode of Graphic Novel Explorers Club. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny. I am joined by Dennis and our special guest host, Veronica. Both of them weren't here when I recorded this intro, so I'm having to do that for them. This is also the kickoff to our summer special. We'll have four episodes, taking a different look, a different approach to how we normally do our regular episodes. And today we are discussing The Unicorn and the Fox by writer Nick Bain and artist Nick Acuna. We hope you've already read today's titles because all three of us have read the book, so beware, spoilers ahead. We would love for you to share your opinion and thoughts with us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or email us at gnexplorersclub@gmail.com. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are available. All right, everybody. So yeah, today we are looking at The Unicorn and the Fox. We've got parts one and two, and this was written by Nick Bain and art by Nick Acuna. Did I say that right? Acuna?
Sounds right to me.
Acuna Matata? That was a dumb joke. I bet you that guy hears that stupid joke all the time.
Way to go. He hates you now.
And it looks like the book was published by ARC Entertainment, LLC. Looking at the cover, which is most of the main characters, I thought this book, it reminded me a lot of...
Last Unicorn?
Last Unicorn and The Secret of Nim.
The Last Unicorn?
Yeah.
Because it has a unicorn.
Oh my gosh.
But it's got that okay. Kind of dreamy...
It's got a 70s, I painted this on the side of my van feel to it.
Yeah. and Ralph Bashke and the illustration team that did like...
Hobbit.
Well, that's Bashke.
Yeah.
That was Ralph Bashke. But no, the team that did Fievel Mauskowitz movies and Land Before Time. It just reminded me of that era, like that 70s, 80s era that you... But the art inside the book is slightly different, I would say.
Yeah, it was. I felt it was pretty mature, but not mature compared to some of the stuff we've read before.
Yeah. So it starts off with, there once was a universe full of peace, wonder, and innocence. To some, it would seem infinitely bigger than our own. And to others, it would appear to be smaller than the tiniest grain of sand. I don't know what that really had to do with the book.
You sound like a South Park character.
I think it was decent world setting. I mean, they're trying to give an idea of what's going on. It's kind of confusing. The realms. I don't quite understand it because they talk about realms, which usually means different dimensions.
Yeah.
But then there's different planets.
But they seem to talk about planets more than
galaxies.
Realms.
Yeah.
And plus, kind of getting into this, the story, as we're starting it, these other worlds have fallen, and I guess they're sort of like the...
It seems like they're taken by some kind of darkness.
Yeah, somehow. Which reminded me of The Neverending Story.
Right.
Where the darkness, literally the darkness, is taking over imagination or destroying imagination, I guess.
It's nothing.
Yeah, or the nothing, that's what it is, yeah.
So I don't know if I missed the narrative, but okay, so they describe, what is it, six worlds?
Well, five plus glow. Right? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that what it is? Because I thought End was one of the worlds.
So Finn?
What? Where's End?
End was like the last one they mentioned. But Glow is not mentioned until they talk about...
Yeah.
So Glow is not mentioned in the narrative. Yeah.
But all these other...
It takes place in Glow.
I completely agree. Okay. That was my problem.
I'm sorry.
Was that it was... Glow is not mentioned.
I
didn't see Mariah Carey.
Disagree. I think it says it's Augustus, Shimo, Faye, Temple, and Sentra. And then in the center of it all is a very special place called Glow.
Not Sentra. Glow. No, I know. I'm just making the point of like Sentra.
Oh.
You would think Sentra would be the center, but.
Oh, yeah.
So
I see.
As the story, as it begins, or we come to find out, all these other... quote unquote realms or worlds have fallen to this
darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what's his name? The ambassador?
The chancellor?
The chancellor. That's it.
You mean Thanos? Looking for the Infinity Stones?
Yeah, that's kind of what it. That's kind of what it seems like. The story is about.
Oh. Yeah. As somebody who's never seen that far into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, did not catch that. So glad. Oh. Felt super original to me.
Yeah, so it starts off giving a rundown of, and it seemed like it was doing some really cool world building. Like there was Augustus, which is this kind of purpley pink with giants and some sort of like deer-like creature running around. And then Shimo there was a giant raccoon, and it seemed to be more of a Japanese influence, Eastern influence.
But then it gets weird.
And then Faye, which is like a floating train.
Cloud City. I don't know.
It's Cloud City meets steampunk. Yeah. With astronauts.
But then Temple seems similar because that's also like cogs. So that seemed like another.
But it's more like fire.
And no creatures.
Yeah, it's just. And then Sintra, which is like a swampy. It's like they're.
Yoda.
What's the forest that Christopher Robinson goes to?
Oh, Thousand Acre Woods.
Yeah, that's like. Yeah,
100 Acre Woods. Don't be crazy.
Well, clearly someone didn't watch the sequels where they go in the future and it's 1,000 Acre Woods.
No, it would have been.
This was like after humans and the woods have taken over, right?
Yeah, you haven't watched The Matrix.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. A millennia from now to be 1,000 Acre Wood.
Gotcha.
Johnny Mnemonic meets Pooh. It's really, it's a pretty good scene.
So you're introduced to these different realms, which don't really have too much to do with the story, other than
there's no information beyond the name of it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And
honestly, I mean, given the short picture you're given, you're not entirely sure what occupies those worlds. Humanoids, machine robots.
Yeah. Astronauts. The engineers for that floating train look like they're wearing NASA astronaut gear.
I wonder if it's like aspects of one world, you know, because they've got the trees and then this Shimo. I kind of saw that as the mountain. I don't know why, but I interpreted that as being like a big mountain in the shape of a fox. I was just wondering if these were.
So you think that's a fox? I thought that was a rat. And you think that's the. Oh, it's almost like the Thundercats' lair.
Right.
Yes, exactly. I know exactly
I didn't think
about
of that as a mountain. I thought that was just like a spirit.
That's just my interpretation. Yeah. I don't know.
I like that better than my spirit idea.
I mean, it could be either or both. But yeah, I thought maybe it was like certain aspects of this world, you know, so they've got like the train and then, you know, the cogs might be like machinery. I don't know. Maybe this is a stretch, but maybe they aren't like worlds per se. But then I guess, I don't know.
Like we said, they go back and forth between saying realms.
And worlds.
And worlds and galaxies and I don't know what
the We spent a lot of time trying to figure out the beginning of this book.
You know what's really interesting is this is like flat earth theory because Glow is flat and they can reach the edge of it.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're planets or not, but.
Oh, that could buy into the whole realm thing where they're just kind of floating in the ether and, you know, invisible walls and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think we should move on because we've spent 7 minutes trying to figure out what's...
Okay, so we're introduced to Buddy, unicorn. So, anyway, that's...
And it's such a weird introduction. So they're building out the world, and then there's a door, and it's knock, 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 wake up, Buddy, with this weird mask on it.
With like light glowing around the edges of the
right.
door.
Right, and then that's it. And then it jumps to this place with all of the unicorns.
And honestly, it's weird to me that, you know, you have all these fancy names for the realms, and then you have Buddy, and Aunt Dolly. And I was like, "What is this, Hicksville? Where's Gomer?
Yeah, well, there
Where's
is
Gump?
A, there's a Gooch, which
Gooch.
Is,
oh yeah, right. I thought that was so silly.
Which
it was
is
silly.
Which is another name for taint.
Oh,
like you never heard of the Gooch?
I didn't know that. No, yeah,
that's there's Jet. Jet, one of the unicorns is named Jet.
He's the fast one.
Yeah, clearly. I know. It's suddenly My Little Pony.
He would have been, who's the guy from Spider-Man that always beats up Spider-Man before he becomes Spider-Man, who beats up Peter Parker.
What?
The football player.
Oh, Flash Thompson.
He would be the Flash Thompson in this
story. Totally.
Anyways, so yeah, we're introduced to Buddy, who is our protagonist. He is a unicorn that's missing his corn. And in this realm, the unicorns don't have like a...
Not on their forehead. It's like on their...
Yeah, with a spirally kind of beautiful horn. They just have like a rhinoceros horn coming out of their snout. So,
and then we're also introduced, which I thought was like some kind of fox bat. So I thought this was the fox, was his buddy Lexus, who's a bat, I guess, right?
It's like a...
Yeah, some kind of bat creature.
You know, another thing about this story too is some of the... There's no humans in this realm or this existence as far as we know. And so, but some of the animals are anthropomorphic and others are like Buddy or his buddy, Buddy's buddy, who are basically just animals that can talk.
And what's weird too is when they're going off to meet the princess, right beforehand, you see a couple of centurions, but you never see them again. You never see centurions ever again.
I'm just curious if there's some sort
of... The centaurs?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I missed on like why some animals are anthropomorphic and others aren't. Or if you're a lower class, are you considered? Is it like sort of racial discrimination where if you walk on four legs, well, then you get names like Buddy and you live out in the woods. But if you're anthropomorphic, you know, you get to go into higher society.
You get regal names.
There's like a caste, I shouldn't say racism, but like a casteism.
Totally.
System based upon if you walk upright or not. Come to find out, Buddy's going to compete in this
race.
And that's where you meet the other horse, that Jet, that messes with him and basically teases him and says, you're not going to win the race, which he doesn't.
He's such a typical like schoolyard bully.
But it seems to be a big deal because the queen is there with her entourage. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's maybe like a jousting tournament, but instead of jousting, they race. Yeah, and there's like... upright animals competing against the horses and birds, which I feel like the bird would just win right away. You would think the bird would win every single time because they would just like, oh, I'm just going to fly. Instead of going the loop, I'm just going to fly right to the finish line.
Well, it's not that kind of a race.
Right, because they're trying to catch
it's a
that.
Chasing kind
oh,
of.
Oh, that's right. That's yeah. right.
Whatever that creature was it like a...
I don't know.
It's
Ewok
the foxy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many fox-looking things. I kept thinking, which one is the fox? I've already identified at least one unicorn. I want to know which one is a goddamn fox. You already faked me out with the bat fox. And yeah. Then you faked me out with the little chase fox. And I was like, chase what the fox?
So, so then this is after the race. Buddy loses to Jet. And they walk to the edge of their existence.
Which is weird, too. Like, I guess your world isn't that big. Like, how... You just... Oh, here we are at the end of the universe.
Well, it's like... Maybe they
just live right on the edge.
Like, they're like in San Diego. You know, like, their equivalent of San Diego. Like, they're... The beach is the end of, you know, where how far you can go. When for them, it's the edge of their Earth, their planet. Which I thought this was going to come into play later. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he was going to... run towards the edge and the bad guy, he would dart at the last minute and the bad guy would go over the edge, but that didn't really ever happen.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting is that this, what's his name, Lexus?
Is that his buddy's
the
buddy?
Friend, the buddy's bat. Buddy? Yeah, the bat. He says, whoa, what is this place? Like, he's never seen it before. I don't know, dude, don't you live here?
My mom says I can't go over there, so like, I've never been there. Thanks for showing me, buddy. I'm assuming he talks like 80s Keanu.
So anyway, they see this weird blue ball, which is what we've seen in the other worlds that went to darkness. It's like a blue ball with black smoke around it. Mm-hmm. And they panic. They decide to go back. It's too late. The thing lands. It looks like Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas decides to come on board.
Oogie Boogie combined with the nothing from...
Right.
Never ending story.
And declares himself, he's the chancellor.
Which it seems like they're all shocked it's there. And this is the first time they're seeing it.
But they've heard of him.
But then they all recognize what's...
Well, at least the queen has heard of him. And you know what? I mean, I guess that makes sense. If the queen has heard of this person before, meets this person with such antagonism immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't even give this person a chance.
I guess I wish there was a little more world building, because I felt like I wasn't sure, like, when they said, oh, we've heard of you, like, how have you heard other, do you talk to other realms?
Right.
Do you, like, is there, you know, is this still the same galaxy? I'm not really clear how you've heard this guy's reputation.
And then you know he's a bad guy, one, because of he arrived in a big giant black cloud. A butterfly lands on his hand and he sucks the butterfly into his.
He eats the light.
Yeah.
Like a juicy fruit.
This is what cracks me up. The queen says, I've heard of you, Chancellor. You feed off of life so you can spread your darkness. Your illness has taken over the galaxy. It ends here. And then he says, why must everyone say such horrible things?
Like, right.
Yeah. Fake news.
Yeah. It cracked me up.
Yeah. Petty gossip, vile rumors. Yeah, it's...
And then he gives them the stupid villain choice. You can have freedom or death.
And freedom is just like bend to my will.
Right. Are you free to die? I don't know. I don't know exactly what his freedom...
Yeah, that's so weird.
Anyway, they decided to attack him, right?
Yeah.
So then the queen's forces try to attack him. I guess the unicorns try to charge him. And then he uses his bizarro Green Lantern Black Force powers to entrap them in some sort of black smoke, right?
And Jet, the antagonistic horse, rallies like all the forest creatures.
Come on, bros.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, buddy. And he's like, I can't. And then they call them lions, but they're like just black beasts.
I didn't understand why they call them lions either, because they didn't even resemble lions.
Well, it would have been cool if they had shown in one of the other realms, like the lions defending and they fall, and now they're
shadow creatures.
Yeah, like to show the transition from one to the other, I think would have been a really cool way of, because they're neat. Like, I like the way they're drawn. Mm-hmm. They're interesting creatures, but it would have been cool to see what they. To see them, you know, get morphed from the good creature to now these bad creatures.
Well, you're assuming that they do. I don't think that that's necessarily the case.
That's true, yeah.
You
know, that could be true.
I think that's a really interesting interpretation. I didn't actually think of that. I just assumed that that was something that he just created with all of his magic.
His dust magic?
His dust magic, yeah.
I was in both fields. I wasn't sure if he just made dust magic bunnies or lions, or he corrupted the creatures and they become shadows of themselves, because you know he was entrapping them for a reason. So
he winds up using his cloud magic, dust magic, to entrap the queen and all of the people that fought against him.
And of course the dummy buddy gets missed somehow. I don't know how that works.
Well, he ran away.
Oh,
so because he was too cowardly, he's like, we're not gonna.
And he has no horn.
And he has no horn, which, again, I thought maybe that was going to
come into
play.
Was
he born without the horn? Was it chopped off?
It's mystery.
It's not ever.
And his parents abandoned him, so does that have something to do with it?
Right.
Because he's buddy. He's a piece of shit.
Aww,
but his aunt loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
supposedly.
Turns out the Chancellor is looking for the amulet, and he's already collected a bunch, and you.
He sounds like Thanos. He has all of them except for this one.
So he's pretty much Thanos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for the final one. And he's basically saying freedom or death. And the queen is like refusing. And then she convinces Buddy.
To look for the fox.
Right. For the fox.
Which is basically Obi-Wan.
Right. Exactly.
Without.
Help me, fox. You're my only hope.
Yeah. So then Buddy is now given his quest to go seek out the fox and get power. We don't know.
It's very vague. Just find the fox is what she said.
Like the fox was going to be the holder of this last thing that the chancellor wants. Is that his name? The chancellor?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call him the ambassador, but
the emperor.
Yeah. But that never really comes into play.
Okay, in classic cryptic speak, she goes, he'll send you a sign.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, I'm trying to help you. Be more specific. If you need me to find the fox, tell me specifically what you need me to do. He'll give you a sign. Like, hey, look, I'm the only one. I don't know if you noticed. I don't have a horn. So you really need to give me more information.
Because that's the end of issue one. And then issue two starts off with Finn, which to my F-I-N-N, but Finn has always been the end. And what is that, Italian or?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Or French.
Or French, yeah, one of the two. So Buddy is
but
now.
But it's really the beginning. Ooh,
yeah.
Deep.
yeah, and actually didn't notice that the first time.
The end is the beginning.
Yeah. But who's Finn?
I think that literally means end.
Yeah, but it's F-I-N-N. I thought maybe Finn was going to be.
The fox? Maybe we finally fucking find the fox.
What do you mean we find the fox?
I know, he meets
but,
the fox.
But it's not his name, right?
But like, what does Finn have to do with anything?
I have no idea.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So it starts off with, he's supposed to look for the sign and starts off with Buddy running.
Apparently outrunning the
mist thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he is pretty fast.
Yeah.
He almost won the race.
Kind of like Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump's really fast.
Man.
So he's feeling pretty down about he doesn't know what to do or where to start, and he runs into Auntie, his Aunt Dolly.
Right. He basically goes back to his house.
Yeah.
Her house.
Yeah. She's hiding
in thought this scene was sad. You know,
really?
He doesn't believe
really
in himself.
Right.
And, you know, he's been charged with this quest. I don't know. I definitely had I don't know if I would say that I liked it, but I sort of thought of them as children, and maybe that this comic was more geared towards kids.
That's what Dennis was saying beforehand, and I just wasn't sure.
Just because like, that's what I thought already.
It's true.
yeah, now that you've both said that, I'm trying to look at it through mm-hmm. that lens of. Yeah, this is probably more for young adults or children.
Yeah.
Like a mystical.
Mm-hmm, like 8 to 12 or something like that.
Kind of like the Dark Crystal-esque.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Like it's very obvious, like evil and good, you know? And well, there is some moral ambiguity, I guess, a little bit later. But it's very obvious at this point, you know, in the first issue, you know, there's the good guys and the bad guys. And he's got this like quest, and it's, you know, very typical like hero's quest.
Yeah, the 12 steps of the hero. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got this like fatal flaw and yeah. So I thought it was maybe just for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So he runs into his auntie and she says, or he's doubting himself and says, you know, I come from a line of cowards and my mom and dad abandoned me. Mm-hmm. And she basically tells him like, you know, just because that's who they are doesn't mean that's who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have hope and courage. And she sends him on his way.
Right.
To go continue his quest. And then we cut back to the Chancellor and the Queen kind of having a standoff about
amulet.
Yeah,
basically.
What he's there to do. Which I don't know, it didn't really.
It's just more bad guy espousing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it felt like. You know, I don't know if there was more to it, but, you know, he says, like, look into my eyes and what do you see? And she basically just, like, shits on him, you know, which I don't know. It's just, it was so obvious.
But this is the best part. What is this? They've been going back and forth, and the Chancellor comes to find out that someone escaped, and this is where he yells, Gooch! And it's like his main. This main lion, shadow lion, that sends him out to go track down Buddy and the fox. I just love that. The Gooch. I wonder if the other guy's named Boner.
God. So this is for kids.
Well, he used Gooch in there.
Yeah, hey, he's just all right.
Boner was a main character on Growing Pains. And
that's true.
And like we all knew at 10 years old, name is Boner.
It is really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why would you name basically a kid Erection?
Well, I think because he pulled a boner
all
the time.
Is that a nickname?
Yeah.
You wouldn't assume that was a nickname?
Well, even for a family show, that you shouldn't use that as a nickname.
I'm going to guess Boner's backstory is when they were like in the 10th or 11th grade.
Oh, God.
He got a major boner in class.
And then that's.
And stood up and was. And like all the other kids saw it. And that was from there on out. He was Boner.
Mm.
It was not. No one's nickname. You can't make your own nickname. But that was one where he's like, come on, guys, please don't call me Boner. Or he just fully accepted. He's like, that's right. I'm the Boner.
That's interesting.
Anyway, back to this kid's book.
Yeah. Just wanted to say, this is such weird logic here, this scene where he's like going back and forth with the Chancellor and the Queen are going back and forth. I just don't, like, what's the point here? He says, that the queen says that he, you know, she sees weakness in his eyes, that he just feeds off others. And then he says, no, I'm the creator and I'm going to rule with the power of the amulet. But I just don't understand why he thinks he's some kind of savior.
Mm.
Like, where is that coming from? We have no
right
idea.
I mean, I think that's where some more backstory for him. I mean, at least with Thanos, you could tell he wanted to save the universe in his own twisted way, right? You're the hero of
your
own story.
Logic. You get his logic right. Of, you know, the solar system is maxed out. People are starving, they're dying, there's sickness, there's illness because we've overpopulated. We're destroying nature because we're just taking over everything. So my solution is I'm going to kill everybody.
See, that doesn't make any sense. Nature is going to take its course. You know, if these people are starving, guess what? They're going to die.
Well, he feels like he's speeding up nature.
Yeah. His solution is I'll wipe out half of everything and then we've got enough for everybody.
So that's what we needed from the Chancellor was a little more reasoning.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to see if he was on a previous realm that had those types of problems and mm-hmm. he lost a family member or mm-hmm. something, and that was his solution was, well, nobody else. I'll just take over everything and control it mm-hmm. with an iron fist so right. that nobody else, you know, without any free will.
Well, later on, does he go into that? I sort of seem to remember that he says, like, well, my people all turned on me, and isn't there something about that? Maybe it's later on.
I forget.
So,
although you do get a glimpse, we're going to skip a bit. Just for me to say this, but you do get a glimpse where like a butterfly lands on him
mm-hmm.
and his face changes.
Right.
And he doesn't seem as evil and he
yeah,
actually
like
seems
yeah. the cloud.
That was that moral ambiguity that I was talking right. about. So you don't know, like maybe he was a good person at one point right. and got yeah. corrupted.
So then the queen's fox that they were chasing kind of lies to him and says,
talks up buddy.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like mm-hmm. our fiercest warrior is on
the case
basically. And he's got the Chancellor has a glowing cane?
Like a staff.
No, he's got everything. He's got glowing staff. He's got the throne with all the Infinity Stones on it. I mean, he's got every like bad guy. he went to Evangeline's and said, give me all the bad guy tropes. I want a cape.
Yeah.
I want a glowing staff. And
he doesn't
I want
wear a cape?
Doesn't he?
A skull-like
he's got a
face.
Cloak. Yeah. Like
yeah.
a jacket.
That's what I meant.
Duster.
Yeah. A duster.
Yeah.
Even better.
Even more evil.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my evil duster. I like this too. So we catch back up to Buddy. He's like, I've been at this for hours.
So yeah, so the Chancellor sends
I like
his
this
lions.
So hungry, thirsty. What's that? A garden, the sign. I just liked it.
Right. He's like, squirrel.
Yeah, and then he's almost hit by lightning.
Well, he is hit. Like the Chancellor's lions, where the fuck they are, chase after him. They're about to get him. And then he's hit by blue lightning.
Yeah.
And then apparently falls to his death. They see that.
Which later turns out to be a hologram.
Right. Fake out.
This realm doesn't seem like it has, like they are forest dwellers and seems like medieval-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they have hologram technology. Like you don't see anything.
Was it a hologram or was it like
that's
a
spell? Exactly what he says. Yeah. It's a hologram.
The fox okay. says it's
isn't
a hologram.
Isn't that what he says?
Because
yeah.
he wakes
it's
up.
It's a hologram, right? Yeah.
He falls to his death. You what you assume is his death.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out the fox had created this hologram. But yeah, it was just like, well, there's no sign of technology on this planet.
But you know,
maybe it's
the other,
a magic hologram.
Some yeah. of the other realms had fucking space trains and cogs, so you know, an astronaut, so who knows what's capable.
Yeah.
Then we see that scene with the Chancellor
where he's got the planets, each planet
or it's his infinity stone.
Right. Infinity planets are floating
right
above
that's
his
back
chair.
A little bit, but
and then the butterfly lands on him and he
that's
reverts
forward
back.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I don't know how to parallel park when we're talking.
Yeah, this is all around the same time.
All right.
So the he thinks he's seeing his body, but come to find out the fox is now. He's now met the fox, and the fox is like, I made a hologram. I'm right. thinking it's magic because his staff, the fox also has a red glowing amulet staff. And mm-hmm. So maybe he's using magic. He calls
yeah,
it a hologram.
Yeah, I mean,
but
we can only speculate at this point.
Oh, yeah. So here's the line that Veronica was talking about. Chancellor says, after his face reverts back to his evil self, right? He says, banished by my own galaxy, I wandered. My own planet was barren. Then we discovered this nebula. See, this fucking realms, nebula,
see,
galaxy.
I totally didn't read it like that. I was like, banished by my own realm.
I don't have a list.
I wandered.
He's got a speech about it.
Then we discovered the nebula.
He was just a kid. I just pictured
and
him like,
we evolved much beyond your planet.
I just pictured it like a little color. Like a little kid, you know?
He's just a nerd.
Yeah.
I didn't read it like that, but okay, sure. People, very entertaining.
People picked on him so much for his speech impediment that he turned evil. Bullying. No, this is what happens
to kids. Don't say ours.
They do by a certain age, but.
But he's a little kid.
He's an adult and he's got a speech impediment.
They're all kids.
You think they're kids?
I made that headcanon that they're all just children.
Oh, it's like it.
It's like what?
Like it. Oh. They're all kids.
Yeah, so something bad happened to him and he was somehow betrayed. Does it say in here that he was the only one betrayed, but all of his people?
It says, well, just like you said, banished by my own galaxy, I wandered.
So it's not like just him.
My planet was barren. Then we discovered this nebula and we evolved much beyond your planet. We had color you could never even imagine.
So who banished him?
The galaxy banished him.
But then he went to a nebula. But a nebula is in a galaxy. I don't know what the fuck's going on here.
That's what I'm saying. So banished by my own galaxy. So
the galaxy got together, had a vote.
How do you get banished by a galaxy? And then it says, then we discovered this nebula. Who's we?
His lions.
People. Royal we.
Oh, his lions.
Yeah.
And then my planet was barren. So wait, if it was barren, did you make it barren?
Maybe that's why he was... maybe that's why he was...
Yeah, maybe he sucked out all the light and color from it.
I don't know, man. Someone needed to like maybe workshop his origin story. Yeah.
That's, you know, kind of jumping ahead to like my final critique. That's what I feel like this book. It doesn't feel like I had a friend who wrote a book several years ago, like a decade ago, and it was long. It was like a 600-page book. And I kept telling him, I was like, sit on it, man. Write it, put it away for 6 months, then come back to it. Do the same thing and then pass it around after 6 months, pass it around, let us, like, I will give you an honest critique of your book. And then sit on it again. Put it away for like 6 months or a year. Then come back and write it. And all he did was one revision and then put it out. And it was kind of like this where it had the seedlings of being a really good story, but it just wasn't executed the right way. And that's how I feel with this book. It's got some really good threads. They're just not woven together well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he really should have done what they do on TV shows, which is make a show Bible and maybe like make a consistent language and theory of how things came together, because as you see coming through just a few pages later, Buddy is talking with the Fox guy. Is his name Finn? I don't know what the fuck his name is. Anyway,
it's called
Fox, and he's talking about the planet Shimo. So he calls it planet. So we've talked about realms and in
nebulas.
In the beginning it said the realm of Shimo, but now this guy's like, Shimo is a peaceful planet, and then I think this is where we solidify that in fact that Fox thing is a statue because it's right there, and you know the Chancellor had come to visit the planet, promised peace. Turned out it wasn't a great deal, and they sent Fox out in a space boat. that's like a space pirate, boat. You know, like Kal-El from Krypton. You later,
that
son.
One Disney movie, or maybe it's DreamWorks.
No, there's a
Treasure Planet.
Yeah, oh. Treasure Planet. That's Disney. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Parent Trap.
No, I don't think so. Parent Trap.
Yeah,
Parent Trap didn't have a space boat.
Damn it. Yeah, so Fox gives us a little bit more backstory on how his realm
got taken over by his planet got taken over by Chancellor. He brought darkness.
And their realm, Buddy's realm, has the last amulet, which happens to be the most powerful of them all.
Mm-hmm. I bet the amulet's in his fucking horn that got cut off. That's what I think happened. They had to cut it off because it had the fucking amulet in it, and it's hidden somewhere. And his parents probably dumped him a la Rey from Force Awakens because they wanted to protect him, not really
abandon
him.
Kind of like Harry Potter's parents, how they were trying to protect him but died.
That's total speculation. You have no idea why Rey's parents abandoned her.
They were gambler trash per Rilo.
Well, the Chancellor is very Kylo Ren. So, anyway.
Kylo Ren. I was thinking Rilo, Kylo Riley, the band.
Right. Different. Slightly different.
Yeah, so then the Fox restores Buddy's horn, which...
Well, it, not even that. He just attaches the amulet and he says, oh, good, perfect fit. Like, the amulet is just a horn. You know what I mean?
Like right. It's moldable clay.
Well, it transforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, magic. Whatever. It's magic. Don't fucking magic. It. Don't you believe in
it's
magic?
It's a hologram.
I believe yeah. it's magic, magic. I believe it's magic, magic.
So that's- now Buddy's got this uber...
This
it's
magic
point.
It's got great. Like it's got like Nordic scrolls right. on mm-hmm. it now and then yeah so then the Chancellor we forgot to say this sends the lions back out mm-hmm. to
right
because sure.
he seems to recognize like blue lightning
yeah
and so
right
he's so, like obviously clued into
that scene was Fox. Also another one of those it's like oh that's weird like t- not
well it's comedic it felt very Disney like to me
did you say a strike. Of blue lightning? And that's exactly how it's written here. That's yeah. how these, the bubbles are the bubbles are broken out just like that.
Yeah.
Right. Why?
Uber dramatic.
That's
so
weird.
Yeah, so the lions come down into this cave that the Fox and Buddy are in. This is funny too. They're all, let's search the cave and you hear clippity clap, clippity clap.
Yeah, right.
Clippity clap. I just imagine the squire from
Monty Python,
oh, yeah. with yeah. his coconuts. And you see electricity kind of shooting out of the end of the unicorn. And one of them's like, what is that? And then the other black lion's like, hey, you, stop. Like they're, like they're security guards at the mall.
Freeze. And then hey, Buddy charges them.
Yeah.
A la Thor.
And runs out of the cave. And then the Fox.
Says he'll distract them as yeah. long as he can.
And then it
a la
ends.
Obi-Wan.
And then that's the end of issue two.
So that was like 90 pages. That's actually pretty, issue one and two combined, that's actually pretty long. Mm-hmm. Typically a comic book's about 22, 24 pages. Mm. So we read about four issues and yeah, I don't know where the fucking story's going. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right onto something where Buddy's horn...
Well, obviously he was destined for something. I think right. that's what they're trying to say.
Right.
That he was destined, like he didn't have a horn, so now he's destined to have this amulet. So he's like, you know, some kind of like chosen one.
Right.
Or whatever.
He's Neo and yeah. Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Neo, combined. Skywalker all rolled into
and,
one.
And a horse that won the Triple Crown.
Oh, yeah. Not California Chrome. Whatever his name was, her name was.
Why? Who names horses?
Anyway. They always have crazy names. Yeah. Anyway, well, clearly not the person who wrote this book because they named it Buddy.
Hey, Buddy. You're our savior, Buddy.
Hi, Buddy.
Yeah.
You're going to save the realm.
Maybe this world's built around the Florida panhandle.
I'm Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I honestly don't know what to say about this. I thought it was really juvenile. So that's why I thought it was specifically for kids. So
I think kids would like the story. I think it is very colorful and...
It's really pretty.
It's definitely a pretty book. And I think kids would really like the images on it. And
yeah, know, it's not overly gory. It seems like it's meant all. To be a juvenile
yeah.
book.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
Not like a juvenile behavior, but yeah. just it's meant for kids.
Yeah. That being said.
Yes. I feel like the story could have used some more work. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, Dennis, like if they had a Bible mm-hmm. for the story of like, here's the reality of this world. Here's the rules.
Right.
You know, here's how we're going to explain everything. Mm-hmm. It does the world building, but it just doesn't, at the beginning, it just doesn't.
It's not enough.
It's, yeah.
It's just
it felt
like,
rushed.
Right.
There's too many rushed. Holes. There's too many questions about like, well, wait, where did he come from? And who is this? And why do we care? You know?
Yeah.
Honestly, if you wanted to say, well, we'll expand that later, then make it more of a mystery. Just introduce Glow. And then have some fucking sage go, oh, and guess what? There's these other realms. What? I've never heard of that before. And then use
yeah,
some
then
other character.
As he's running away, he hits the edge of his world, and there's a port. His
Yeah.
He's now gotten the amulet as his horn, and that like opens up a portal to the next realm.
Right.
And then he goes in there and, you know, he starts picking up his sidekicks and stuff like mm-hmm. that are, or his, like the sage wizard who's going to help him along his way. And have it be more magical and, mm-hmm. but he's discovering everything at the same time the reader is.
Yeah. You know, the writing isn't the best, but you know what? Having read a lot of initial books from some pretty amazing authors, Brian Michael Bendis, who's responsible for like
a lot of the modern Marvel universe.
All sorts of amazing stories. We read one of his initial books, and I would have to say that was really derivative. And this one I felt original enough to me and a little bit mature.
It felt nostalgic, but still moving kind of forward.
Yeah. And I could totally see someone reading this if I were to get a better picture. I think the problem I had was that normally we get a complete story arc. This one, we kind of just, it ends with a cliffhanger. There's no good resolution, so we don't see what's happening. But I could see this being option for a cartoon. It seems like there's a framework for something good.
Yeah.
And the artwork is, I think, pretty solid for what it is. I wouldn't mind my kids reading it.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a pretty solid effort for what clearly is self-published. And I honestly, you know, going back to what you said, Johnny, about your friend, I think that's one of the problems with self-publishing. We live in an age now where it's great. You can totally create something on your own, self-publish. The problem is there is value to an editor. There is value to having someone who's not your friend, who's there. You actually pay money to look at your work critically and go, you know what?
Or,
you know, you need to improve this.
Or even having your friends do it and just be like, do not hold back. Tell me what's not working. Because if you say, oh, it's great, you're doing me a disservice. Mm-hmm. Like that's a, you know, I think people have a lot of, having worked in the creative realm for a long time, like that's one thing you have to get, separate your stuff from your work really early on to say, look, be brutal. Tell me what's dumb. Tell me what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Because if you just say it's great, it's, oh, this is a magical thing, it's perfect the way it is, I'm going to be embarrassed when I put this thing out and everyone's like, this is fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know, but also in the same respect, I find that,
not that
sometimes
this is dumb, but.
Right. But some people who are artists as well, whatever it is, writing or drawing, I think sometimes they're either too much of a buddy-buddy and not critical, or they're hypercritical and don't realize maybe the audience this is for. Like if you handed this comic to a hardcore comic reader, he'd go, this is juvenile, but maybe that's not your market. You need someone who's like realizes, oh, this is a perfect kid's book. This is the target market in the reading level and the storytelling level that we need for a 9-year-old. And they're able to kind of nuance that difference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the most extreme example of one of the most well-done children's stories ever is Where the Wild Things Are. Mm-hmm. It's about a magical realm about this kid who, you know, journeys for, what, 1,000 days on his boat or whatever it is, like, you know, to get to this thing, which is probably really just his imagination, you know, but it's easy to go along and find out, you know, he thought he was the worst of everything, and then he meets these monsters. It's like, oh, I need to go back home and listen to my mom.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Like, you can have a very simple premise and make it great for kids. This could have been a really simple premise of just, there's a bad guy, here's the good guy, he needs to move on, and here's the rules of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I think that authors explain too much and they give too much away, and it's like too complicated and convoluted. Whereas I feel like that's where this is really dipping into. It's not that I need more explanation. Sometimes it's like, just let the world build out as it is. You know, we have our own imaginations. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
No, that's a valid point. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Star Wars, it starts off with a ship shooting at another. You're not explained the whole politics.
Like, right.
By the way, here's an emperor and here's the empire.
Who are these people? Why are they fighting?
Right.
What galaxy is this? Where did they come from? Where are they going?
They didn't have a big, massive exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did have the initial crawl, which I think maybe that's what the beginning part was trying to serve is the crawl. But I think maybe less. Yeah, I agree. It's like, just let the story kind of, let the reader discover the story and the universe slowly and organically.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good foundation. And I would really like to see what the writer does in like 5, 6, 7 years. I think the, what's his name? Nick Cannon?
Yeah. Yeah, after his R&B career.
Yeah. Nick Bane.
Nick Cannon.
I would like Nick to Bane. Really see what he's capable of in a few years when he's got more of this under his belt. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and once again, props to Nick Acuna. The artwork I thought was clean.
Yeah.
I could discern the characters. A lot of times I've had problems with, especially human characters, like discerning who the people are, and they felt very distinctive.
The foxes were a little confusing.
A little bit. I mean, there's like...
The fox people.
Yeah, every other fox, fox bats, fox rabbits, fox raccoons. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But no, I thought his illustrations served the story great. Mm-hmm. Very magical, colorful, mm-hmm. bright.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. As
so any final good. Thoughts there, Veronica?
No, I think I said everything yeah. that I wanted to yeah. say. I don't.
And I just want to say thanks to Nick and his illustrating partner for sending this to us. They contacted us to review their book. And that takes a lot of fucking bravery to be like, please review my book. I don't know if he's listened to past episodes, but you know, we don't hold back. And
we've had some authors contact us.
Yes, we've had some very well-known comic book artists give us both barrels. I just want to say, you know, thank you for thinking of us and sending the book to us. Really appreciate it. I think a kid would really enjoy the story.
Oh, totally.
You know, mm-hmm. it's got enough action and moving along. I don't think we're the intended audience for this. I think
right.
it's definitely for a younger.
I think it needs some polishing and maybe it doesn't, some like it needs some revision. And adjusting a little bit.
Yeah. I think if the story, if he had gone back and hit this a couple of different times with mm-hmm. revisions, I think this would be like one of those things where like kids absolutely fucking love it mm-hmm. and they read it multiple times.
And there's like trading cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. This could be one of those things where yeah, like a Magic the Gathering type game is built around it, or, right. or like you were saying, you could go
and all the action figures.
Yeah, like little figures, or like yeah, or like you were saying, Dennis, where it could be developed into a cartoon or some mm-hmm. sort of long running series or something like that. Yeah, it just slightly missed the mark.
Mm-hmm. I hope they do a crossover with Archie,
or the Nimrats.
Oh yeah, that would
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, so they find a portal to the.
The
NIM lab. Yeah. So. Dennis, where can people follow the podcast?
Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us at GN Explorers Club.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And this is our first episode.
What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, they don't need to follow
They me, need to fine. Follow you.
This is our first episode of our summer special. And thanks for coming back, Veronica. We really appreciate
of
you
course.
Yeah, returning. Welcome. Hope the last time wasn't too bad. So second time was probably worse.
Wow.
Third time's a charm, right?
Yeah, next time we'll get it right. Thanks, everyone.
Just keep feeding me.
Bye.